You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Again, that's right after 1 and 2 Corinthians in your Bible, Galatians chapter 5. And then also, you might put a bookmark in Galatians 5 and turn over to Luke chapter 4 as well. We're going to go over there after a little bit. We're continuing our series called Who We Are. How's it going? How's it going in your relationship with Jesus? Now, I know this is only the third week now in our series. We've been talking about how our lives should produce godly fruit if we've been saved by Jesus. Is this series helping? Is it helping? Are you taking the steps? Did you grab some of those fancy cards last week and put them around your house to remind you of the fruit of the Spirit? Did it make a difference? Are you reading your word? Are you reading, getting in the word every day? Is there any growth beginning to take place? Like, how many of you were more pleasant to be around this week because you've been praying, God, change me, and looking at those cards? Like, anybody get some better manners this week? No, like how many of somebody did, come on. Yeah? Like, how many of you got downgraded from just top-level road rage to just mild road irritation? That's happening? Is the fruit beginning to come out? Come on, how's it going in your relationship with Jesus? So you see, I can preach to you all day long and I can keep praying for you all day long. I will. But if you don't ever take personal responsibility to let this stuff come and work its way through your hands and your feet, in other words, if you don't actually take the steps, then there's not much more I can do for you. So there's God's part. I'm going to say it this way. There's my part, or really it's the church's part. And there's your part. God's doing his part. He's all in, isn't he? Come on, he's done his part. He will continue to do his part. He died for our sins. He died and then conquered death to save you. He's offering you one-on-one relationship, personal connection with you daily, all day. He's given you and me his word to help us know him more, to get changed by him more, and to help us become everything he's created us to be as we join him on his rescue mission for this earth. There's my part, or again, the church's part. I'm going to speak for myself. I'm all in. I want the best for you. I will pray for you. I will keep inviting you. I'll keep challenging you. I'll probably annoy you and perhaps offend you from time to time as I keep pushing you for God's best in your life. Won't give up on you. I'll preach my heart out with the hopes that God will use it to inspire you and speak to you and change you. I'll believe the best about you because here's the truth. Man, I refuse to see anything less than the Jesus-sized potential that does reside in you. Man, you look good, Gathering family. When I look at you, I'm like, man, my church has got it going on. All this Jesus-sized potential in everybody, then there's your part. There's your part. And you got to make the decision. Will you take the steps? Will you say, yes, Lord, and mean it daily? Will you allow him to be Lord of your life? Will you examine your life through the fruit of the Spirit? Will you get aggressive with the sins that are in your life? Will you read his word? Listen to me. If God does his part, if I or the church, if we do our part, but you don't do your part, then nothing's going to happen in your life. And that'll be on you. Yeah, you're in the right place this morning. This is church. We're having it right now. It feels good, doesn't it? Some of you aren't so sure. We're going to have some fun this morning. Don't you worry. Hang on. All right? So, hey, what kind of fruit are we looking for? What kind of changes should be taking place in our lives? If you have your Bibles, open to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 22 and 23. This is what God looks like. This is what our lives should continue to look more and more like, okay? This should show up in our lives. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, Paul writes, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces. He does produce this in the lives of people who've been saved. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, come on, let's say these again together this week. Here we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And watch this, there is no law against these things. This is legal living church. Our lives will produce these things if Jesus is in the driver's seat. Our lives won't produce these things if he's not. So there's change that has to take place when we let Jesus be our Lord. Are you guys with me? Just a few days ago, one of our up-and-coming neighborhood gathering leaders, he was telling me, he was at work, and he's saying a bunch of his coworkers aren't saved, aren't following Jesus, but they were in a meeting with their boss and having a discussion about some work issues, and he said the discussion ended up getting pretty heated. Like they were kind of going at it. And in the middle of this heated discussion, he interjected and goes, "Hey guys, let's not forget about the fruit of the Spirit in this conversation." He said several of them had no idea what he was talking about. Some did, but he said they were all like, "Yeah, that's a pretty good idea." It is a good idea. Come on, this fruit changes things, doesn't it? This fruit describes the changes we should be seeing in our lives if we follow Jesus, and these fruits will change the atmosphere around you. They will change the lives of people around us as well. So we have to change, church. These fruits are not optional for God's kids. But here's the title of today's message: Change Obstacles. Change obstacles. If you've been saved, what are the obstacles that keep you from changing? What's in your life right now that keeps this fruit from showing up? Again, if you have your Bibles now, open to Luke chapter 4. We're going to read verses 16 through 19. Luke 4, 16 through 19. It says, "When he," that's Jesus, "came to the village of Nazareth," his boyhood home. I love that. Jesus is heading to Nazareth, his hometown, for some Nazareth reborn. "He went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written." Okay, so essentially, here's the picture. It's like Jesus is in church, and it's like they just handed him the Bible, and he's looking up his scripture that he's going to read to everybody, that he's going to preach from. Okay, but here's the cool thing. This scripture that he's about to read, it was a scripture that was written about him. It was a scripture that was written about 700 years before he even came to the planet, and it's all about him. So he's going to read, but therefore really talk about himself. And watch what he says. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I want you to notice that. If that's true, do you think these fruits are showing up in Jesus' life? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." And now watch this. We're going to break these down. Here's the first one: to bring good news to the poor. Okay, what does that mean? And who are the poor? Who's that referring to? Okay, well, my friends, the good news is the gospel message, the love and the message of Jesus, that he has come to die to pay the penalty for our sins, but that he has rose, he has conquered death so that we can be saved. That's the good news. It's the salvation message. It's the invitation. Jesus is living the invitational life. He lives the on-mission life, and the poor are anybody and everybody who has not yet been saved. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 5. He says, "The poor in spirit," meaning they've not yet been saved. They don't yet have the Holy Spirit in their lives producing any fruit. Come on. This has nothing to do with your economics. Because we all know people that have bank accounts that are overflowing, but they are spiritually bankrupt in their hearts. They don't know Jesus yet. They've not yet been saved. So Jesus came on mission to save us. And then watch what he wants to do with people after he gets them saved. He says, "He," God, "sent me to proclaim that captives will be released." Church, do you know that it's possible to be saved and still be held captive to sin in certain areas of your life? You know that? So what do you think? Would being held captive to certain sins in your life, would that be a change obstacle in the life of a believer? So what do you think? Do you think Jesus wants you to get unstuck? Yeah, come on. I'd say it this way. He wants us to change. He wants us to be released. Here's more. He's saying, God sent me that the blind will see. Church, do you know that it's possible for you to be saved and yet still be spiritually blind or in spiritual darkness in certain areas of your life? So what do you think? Would spiritual darkness in certain areas of your life, would those things be change obstacles in the life of a believer? Would those things make it harder for us to change? So what do you think? Does Jesus want us to see? Yeah, he wants us to change. There's even more. He's saying, God sent me that the oppressed will be set free. Okay, here's what that word oppressed means. It means to be weighed down by something. To be weighed down by something. Church, do you know that it's possible to be saved and yet still be attacked and oppressed by evil influences? Okay, but do you also know that it's possible to be saved and yet you can still allow yourself to be buried or oppressed by your past, by the shame and the guilt that might come with your past, by the lies that you've believed as a result of your past? So what do you think? Is oppression potentially a change obstacle in the lives of believers? Absolutely. So Jesus doesn't want you to stay oppressed. He wants you free. In other words, he wants you to change. And here's the last one he's saying. He's saying, God sent me to proclaim that the time of the Lord's favor has come. In other words, God sent him to get people saved, changed, and on mission. He's saying the Lord's favor is here. You can be saved and then you can be changed. You can be released from that sin that's holding on to you. You don't have to have areas of your life that are still in darkness anymore. You can have vision straight out of heaven and see your life and see the world around you the way that Jesus does. You don't have to be weighed down by your past and the guilt and the shame and the lies that come with it. Yesterday ended at midnight. Today is a brand new day. Jesus is not against you. He is for you. His favor is here right now. You can right here and now begin to start living just like Jesus. You can become like Jesus and with Jesus, if you'll go all in with Jesus, if you'll let him be Lord and say, yes, Jesus, and keep taking the steps he wants you to take, then there's nothing that can hold you back right here and now from continuing to become the person that God created you to be. But friends, when you get saved, there are all kinds of things that want to keep you from becoming like your dad, from living like Jesus. There's all kinds of things that want to choke out his fruit in your life. There are evil influences that want to keep you from changing, but there are even influences from within your own life that want to keep you from changing. And I would suggest that most often, those are typically the hardest things for us to overcome. Those can often be the biggest obstacles. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This is our one point for the day. Wounds can be the biggest change obstacles. Wounds can be the biggest change obstacles. Okay, so yes, Satan will try to make you stumble. He will, okay? But we gotta understand this. Jesus already won that battle. We gotta stop giving demons so much credit. I'm telling you that the biggest battle is usually within. The biggest obstacles are usually the lies we have believed after living long, huge chunks of our life apart from God. And those lies make their way into our hearts through sins we've committed in our past, through sins we might still be committing right now, and through sins that other people have committed toward us. And sin hurts. Sin cuts. Sin bruises. Sin kills. And so as a result of our sin, we've then got wounds and hurts, and oftentimes we're also buried in guilt and shame from those things that we've done. And so if they're not properly dealt with, they can become strongholds within us. We can put up shields and barriers around these wounds. The Bible says we will grow thorn bushes all around these wounds to keep people from tripping over them and causing us even more pain. I'm convinced that wounds are most often the biggest obstacles in our lives that keep us from experiencing the change, the release, the vision, the freedom that God wants for each one of our kids. Listen to me. Wounds have the power, the potential to quench the Spirit's ability to produce fruit in your life. Here's why. Because so often, we won't let anybody touch the wound, including God. My college roommate and I were snowboarding one time. This is in my mid-20s. And I'm not going to lie to you, we were tearing it up. We were hauling down this mountain. We were on the backside of this mountain just going for it. And he was about 25 yards in front of me. And just all of a sudden, I mean, he just disappeared. And so again, we're hauling. And when I got to the place where he had been, I found out why he had disappeared, because there was about a 20-foot drop that we just couldn't see. And so he had flown off that, and then I flew off of it. And I'm not trying to brag, but I landed it. Okay, I'm trying to brag just a little bit. It was pretty sweet. I landed it, but as I was in the air, I looked down and I saw that he had not landed it. He had blown up on the ground. And so when I got down, I unlatched and I ran up to him as quick as I could. And when I got there, I could instantly tell something wasn't right. I mean, he was in pain for sure. But even through his coat, I could tell where his shoulder usually is. It was about 6 to 8 inches lower than where it should have been. Kind of just had this nice dip in it. He had dislocated his shoulder. And so it took a while, but we finally got Ski Patrol over there, and they strapped him in, and they took him down the mountain on a snowmobile. And I caught up with him in the emergency room at the lodge. And I got there just in time for the doctor, where the doctor walked in, and he kind of did that thing that doctors do, where he began to touch it. And then he asked this question. You guys know what I'm about to ask. Does this hurt when I touch it? To which my friend, with very colorful language, said, yes, it does. But church, listen, they had to touch that injury. They had to push on that shoulder. They had to touch that wound a whole bunch before they got it back into place so that it could be realigned, so that it could actually heal. And friends, that's exactly why emotional wounds in our lives are such big obstacles, because they hurt when other people touch them. So we don't want to go there. We don't want to open them up and hash out the hurt and what's happened. We'd rather mask the pain. We'd rather put up defenses and fend off the pain. And oftentimes we hurt other people in the process of doing that. And we just try to move on with life rather than deal with the hurt. But come on, we know this. Wounds that go untreated, they just fester. They go deeper. They start spreading out. And the scar tissue continues to get harder. Let me just say it this way. Our hearts become hard. So then we resist God's touch, which has the power to release us from the pain. We're held captive. We stay blind to the truth that this wound is hurting us, and then others around us. We close our ears off to the sound of God's voice when he's saying, hey, come follow me. I know the way to freedom. And here's how you can tell if you or someone else has some emotional wounds that they haven't been healed from yet. What comes out of them when they get squeezed? In other words, how do they behave when life gets tough? When things don't go their way, is there fruit that comes out? Is there fruit juice that comes out of your life when you get squeezed, church? Or I'm going to say it this way, is there thorns? Is there thistles that come out of your life? And sometimes it doesn't take much. Sometimes it doesn't take much to reveal these things. Like when you have a fun evening plan, you're like, man, we're gonna go have some fun tonight. But then your boss comes and says, hey, I need you to stay late. We got work that we gotta get done. I need you to stay late. How do you behave? What happens when you get squeezed? Is there goodness? Is there patience that comes out? Is there self-control? Or is there gossip and hurtful things said about your boss behind his back? What happens when your kid's school calls and your kid's messed it up and they're now in trouble? And I'm not saying there doesn't need to be discipline. There might need to be some discipline, but is it going to be loving discipline or is it yelling? Is it anger? Again, I'm telling you, it doesn't even take much. It doesn't even have to be that bad of a situation when your spouse eats that last piece of dessert in the fridge. Is there kindness? Is there patience? Is there gentleness? Or do you get mean and withhold your affections? And this was really real in the Eck House just a few weeks ago. I mean, the boys and I ate all the brownies. We ate them all. And then all of a sudden I heard Rachel in the kitchen and she was just like, oh. But I'm telling you, you would be so proud of her. She handled it like a champ. She was disappointed and rightly so. We ate all those brownies. What were we thinking? Didn't save her one, but she was so sweet, so kind, so understanding, and I begged for forgiveness at the same time. Our thorns and our thistles actually give away our wounds, and they reveal the fruit that's missing from our lives at the same time. So you guys, you know this about me. I tell people I love you all the time. I say that up here from this platform to you guys all the time. If you come see me at Guest Central and you're not a brand new guest because I don't want to weird you out, if you come here for just a little while, you'll hear me say, I love you. I tell my neighbor at Gathering all the time, I love you. Here's why I say it, because I love you. Because I mean it. I'm serious and I'm generous with it. So I say it all the time. Well, early on, after planting this church, we had a woman who was going to the church, and just one morning on a Sunday, as she and her husband were getting ready to leave, I just said to them, I said, hey, I love you guys. And she turned around with a really upset look on her face, and she said, I don't like it when you do that. And then she said, there's no way you can love us. You can't mean that. There's no way you actually mean that you love us. The look on her face actually communicated this. I hate it when you tell me that you love me. So guess which fruit was missing from her life? Love. Love was missing from her life. And here's why. Because she had a wound that she wouldn't allow Jesus to heal. Come to find out, she had a terrible relationship with her dad. And growing up, she had never once, in her whole entire life, she had never once heard her dad say, I love you. And that hurts. I got grace for her. That hurts. That cuts. That wounds. But rather than allowing Jesus or her Father in heaven to release her from that, rather than allowing her Father in heaven to show her the truth that she is lovely and that she is loved more than she could ever even comprehend, rather than allowing God to free her to be loved and to love others, here's what she did. She grew thorn bushes all around that wound. And when I or anyone else unknowingly or innocently reminded her of that pain, here's what happened. She stuck out those thorns to try to keep people from touching that wound. Here's what she was saying. Don't touch that. It hurts. Have you ever unknowingly or innocently stepped on a landmine in someone's life and they just blew up on you? Like you thought, I was just trying to be relational. I really care about you. And they just blew up on you. That's because there's a wound there. And here's what's so sad for this woman. And listen, I know there's people in here that can relate to her experience. God loves you. He loves you. We'll keep telling you all day long too, we love you. But here's what's so sad. If she doesn't get healed, she's going to quench the Spirit's ability to produce that fruit in her life. You cannot love others if you don't believe that you are loved. And so here's what we have to be very careful about. Look, this is going to be strong. But look, it's possible, it is possible to be saved and still be stuck in certain areas of your life. But if we constantly refuse God's healing hand in our lives, if we continue to choke out God's desire to produce fruit in our lives, then at some point we do have to ask, do you really then have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus? Because Jesus came to save you, he came to set you free and pour out God's favor on you so that you can become everything that God intends for you to become, saved, changed, and on mission. That's the result. That's what God desires for those kids that he saved. Paul says the Holy Spirit does produce fruit in the life of people who've been saved. And watch what Jesus says. I didn't tell you to turn here, but it'll be up on the screen. Matthew 7, watch what he says, verses 16 through 20. He says, you can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way that they act. He's actually talking about people that show up in church that claim to love Jesus, that say they love Jesus, but they lead people in the wrong direction. They don't actually know the love of Jesus themselves. There's wounds. There's viciousness on the inside of them. Okay, but he's saying you can identify people essentially who haven't been saved by their fruit or by their actions. Watch. He says, can you pick grapes from thorn bushes? There they are. Or figs from thistles. A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. Watch this. This is blunt. A good tree, that's someone who has been saved. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. I don't think I need to explain that metaphor. We talked about that big time last week. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Now, I want to remind you of something I said last week. I'm not talking about perfection. And neither is Jesus. He's not talking about perfection. You hear me? Perfection is not the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. If that's the case, we're all doomed. Okay, it's not about perfection. It's how we handle the imperfections in our life. That's the evidence. Do we truly desire to become more like Jesus? And therefore, are we repenting when we discover that there's a lack of the fruit of the Spirit in any area of our lives? In other words, is Jesus our Lord? Okay, for example, you might blow it, but here's how you can still demonstrate some goodness, okay? Goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You know what falls under the category of goodness? Asking people to forgive you when you mess it up. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? You know what else falls under the category of goodness? Saying, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to do this anymore. I need you to change me. Right? I need you to change me. I don't want to give out thistles to people anymore. I don't want to give out thorns anymore. I want fruit juice to come out of my life. That's good, isn't it? What happens when you get squeezed? What comes out of your life? Church, life will squeeze you. I used to have a terrible temper. And if things would get stressful, this is for real, I would cuss. I would seriously throw things. I would kick things. I would yell and scream. I'm embarrassed to tell you this. And shortly after I got saved, I was 24 years old. Shortly after I got saved, a friend and I, we were living in Kansas City. We had our own design business. That was my full-time job, this little startup company we were starting. And we were not making enough to make ends meet. And I had bills stacking up. And then one day I got an email from one of our clients, and they backed out on a project that was going to cover a lot of our expenses. And when I got that email that day, I lost it. I stomped. I seriously kicked things. I said all kinds of words. I yelled. I screamed. And I scared my friend, my business partner, who wasn't even saved yet. At the end of the day, when I was going home, I felt serious conviction. And I remember I was praying. I was saying, God, I'm sorry. I really was. I was sorry. I meant it. I'm sorry. And I prayed, God, I don't ever want to do that again. And I remember, this is what God spoke to me. He said, why'd you do that in the first place? I said, because I'm stressed out, God. He said, no. No, why'd you really do that? And then I started digging deeper. Started asking myself, what's really going on? And by God's grace, he began to point to something. I said, God, here it is. It's because I'm afraid of failure. It's because, God, I've been so stressed out and so worried that if this business fails, that my parents and my friends, my family, people all around me, they're going to think I'm a failure. I had experienced it probably wasn't even real, but I allowed myself to feel the shame of failure many times before in my life. I lived with, for a long time, with a fear of not being good enough, just feeling like I would never measure up. And so here's what I did when things would get stressful or start pointing in that direction. I built up barriers in my life to try to keep that from becoming my reality. I tried to fight against failure. And when things would get stressful, thorns would come out, or let's just be real this morning, knives would come out. But I remember as I confessed to God what was really going on in my heart, he began to heal me. Here's how. He began to tell me the truth. He said, Brandon, you're not a failure. You're mine. You belong to me. You're my son. I love you. I love you on your worst day, and you don't have to live life thinking you're not good enough. You belong to me. You don't have to fear failure anymore because I got you. And church, I believed it. And by the grace of God, I haven't blown up like that ever since. And I went to my friend, my business partner the next day, and I apologized to him and asked for his forgiveness for the way that I behaved. Listen, life will squeeze you, church. What comes out when it does? You know who else will squeeze you, or at least allow you to be squeezed? God. Because he loves you way too much to leave you where you're at. You know who else feels the same way? I do. Pastor Greg does too. Your neighborhood gathering leaders feel the same way. This family you're surrounded by feels the same way. We are better together. Come on, in fact, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. That's how you get healed. Come on, who wants to get healed up? Who wants to get healed up? Who wants to get past some change obstacles in their lives? Who wants to begin to produce fruit? Who wants to begin to look around and just start seeing fruit just piling up all around their feet because it just keeps pouring out of your life? Come on, who wants that? Here's how you can have it. Relationship. Relationship. I told you last week, all of these fruits are relational. You want to get healed? You want relational fruit in your life? You need to pursue deeper relationship with God and his people. So you keep taking the steps that we've been telling you for the past couple of weeks, but I got more this morning. If you've never been to breakfast, you need to go to breakfast and get plugged in with this family. You need to get yourself in a neighborhood gathering, our small groups. You need to surround yourself with people that will love you, people that will give you grace, people that will continue to point you towards God. You need to put yourself in the presence of God consistently, prioritize it, his presence and the presence of his people. You need to get on Team Reborn and start serving and helping out with the family. You need to become a part of this family. I'm telling you, you be intentional to do that. You prioritize these things. You keep your heart in it, and you will experience fruit. You will grow, and you'll start to see it piling up all around you. And here's how you keep your heart in it. You remain approachable and coachable and teachable and mentorable and humble and correctable and warnable. That's a real word. In other words, when God tries to touch your wounds and bring healing, when he uses your family around you, when he uses big spiritual brothers and sisters to try to touch your wounds, to bring these things back into alignment, you don't put your thorns out there. You say, yes, Lord. Not only will you live saved, but you'll continue to experience more and more change, more freedom and life in Jesus, and you'll live the life that he has for you. Some of you might be struggling to believe that Jesus' best can take place in your life. I want you to hear me though. God believes it can. And I believe it too. I will not lower my expectations. I will not compromise. I will not settle in any way because you think something can't happen in your life. I know it can. I will fight for you. If I'm guilty of anything, it's being one of the people in your life that refuses to see anything less than Jesus-sized potential in your life. You are not a failure. You are not a failure. Your past, your sins are not who you are. You're God's kid. He loves you. You may feel like you're buried by your past and the shame and the guilt and the lies, but that dirt cannot define your present value and your future potential. You are loved. You are God's. On your worst day, you are loved. He's not done with you by a long shot, and it's no accident that you are here. We love you too. We love you. I love you. We won't give up on you. I will not give up on you. As far as I'm concerned, you belong here. I could not be more proud to call you family. I believe in you. So when you're feeling down, when someone steps on a landmine in your life and you blow up and you mess it up, here's what you do. You remind yourself of the truth that you are loved by God. You can even ask him, God, who do you say that I am? Let him talk to you. Let him tell you the truth. Let him heal you. If you still have problems and you don't know who you are, you come talk to us. We'll remind you. We love you. God is for you. And then with grace, you recognize those thorns that came out for what they really are, for what they really represent. They're just a change obstacle in your life, but there's no obstacle in your life that is too hard for God to overcome. You say, God, change me. Change me. Show me the truth. You let your shields down. You invite spiritual big brothers and sisters to help you see God's truth. You accept accountability and you keep getting healed up. And you keep becoming the person that God created you to be. So very practically, once again, we've got steps for this series that we are in. I want you to take these steps. Many of you have started. Some of you haven't yet started. Is today the day? Is today the day? Come on, here's number one. I want you to examine your daily living through the fruit of the Spirit. So we got fancy cards. We handed these things out last week. They have Galatians 5. They got those verses on there talking about the fruit of the Spirit. They just ask, is this who I am today? I want you. Many of you, I've heard awesome stories of people that have put these like in every room in their house. Praise the Lord. I want you. If you have not grabbed one of those yet, we've got them all over in the lobby. Grab as many as you need. I want you to tape it to your coffee machine. I want you to put it on your refrigerator. I want you to tape it on the mirror where you're getting ready in the morning. I want you to put one out, take one with you to work, put it on your desk. I want you to put one on your nightstand next to you when you're going to go to bed. In the morning when you wake up and you see this thing, you begin to pray and you say, God, this is who I want to be today. You say, God, will you help me? Help me. I don't want the thorns to come out. I don't want those things to dissolve in my life. I want fruit juice all day long, Jesus. Then at the end of the day, when you get home and you're going to bed and you see that card again, you pray and you say, God, is this who I was today? And it's beautiful because you'll get to see the places where you fell short and there's grace. There's forgiveness all day long. But now you know how to pray and you say, God, I need to be more loving. I mess it up here today. Please forgive me, but change me. Pour out more of your love in me. God, I need more self-control. Come on, help me. I pray for your help. And then you know who you get to go ask for forgiveness the next day because of the way you behaved. you keep doing these things, you're going to grow like crazy. Fruit's going to start piling up all around you. Here's one more. We've got to read God's word daily. Because this is how we know who our dad really is and what he is really like. Have you guys started reading your Bibles every day? My prayer is that in about 3 weeks, when we finish this series, I'm going to say, have you guys started reading your Bibles every day? And there's going to be a collective, woo! Keep a bookmark at Galatians 5. Keep one there. And then seriously, if you're not reading your Bible daily yet, you have to start. If you don't start taking the steps, I'll keep praying for you. I'll keep preaching to you, but there's not much more I can do for you. You've got to take the steps. Paul says that we are renewed. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. God's word gets in us. It gets his heart and his mind inside of ours. It changes us. It will change your life. Then as you're reading, you pray, God, how can I know you more through what I'm reading? And God, will you change me because of what I'm reading? How can I grow? How can I change? How can there be more fruit? And I'm telling you, church, together we keep taking these steps, we'll keep becoming the people and therefore the church that God desires us to be. We want to see Newton reborn. Amen? It starts with us. It starts in this house. As we continue to take the steps and look more and more like Dad, these fruits will get expressed through our lives daily. Other people around us will begin to take notice. The atmosphere around you will begin to change. Lives around you will get blessed and they'll begin to change. People will take notice of the godly Jesus life that is inside of yours. They'll be attracted to it. You'll be living the invitational life. And this town will continue to recognize more and more, these people are serious. They really do love me. They really do love every person in this town. And they are on mission to see this city come alive in Jesus here and now like never before. Because that's who we are. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you have given it abundantly. I thank you that Bibles are everywhere. I thank you that we can have them on our phones. I thank you that your word changes us. I thank you that you haven't abandoned us. You haven't left us. I thank you that not only have you given us your word, you give us your Holy Spirit. God, I pray you would awaken something in all of us today. I pray, Holy Spirit, come and pour out in our lives. Come on, would you just pray that with me? If you need his touch today, if you need him to awaken something in you today, if you need to take the steps. Now listen, you need to make a decision right now in your will. I'm going to take personal responsibility to start taking these steps. But come on, ask for God's help at the same time. God, help me. God, I choose to take responsibility with you. I'm going to do my part. I need your help. Come and pour out. I want you to awaken something in me. I want you to make me come alive more than I've ever been alive. I'm running after you, God. I'm hungry for you, God. I need you, God. I can't get over you, God. Change my life. I need to be more loving. I need more joy. God, pour out your joy in this place today. I pray we would know great joy as we draw closer to you. I pray that our past and our guilt and our shame and those lies we believe, that you would just disintegrate that stuff. Come on, it's like I just see God's hand. He's just reaching down. He's wanting to pull people out of the dirt. You don't have to be buried by that stuff anymore. You don't have to let that stuff control you. Religion tries to keep you accountable for your worst sins ever. Jesus says, come step out of that stuff. Jesus says, I forgive you. I've got grace for you. Jesus says, I've got life for you. You can leave that thing in the past. I'm not holding on to it anymore, he says. You don't have to either. Jesus, we draw near to you today. We love you. We ask for you to help us. pray over every one of these wonderful people that you would meet us right where you are at, right where we're at, that you would take us by the hand and lead us. Let us take the next steps that you have in mind. May this fruit begin to pile up all around us. I pray there'd be an incredible harvest, Lord, that would take place through our lives, God, pouring out into the lives of others, drawing so many more to yourself. We need to be changed because there are so many around us that also need to be saved. We need to be used by you, God. Come and have your way. Come and have your way, Lord. Let this city be reborn. We pray in the name of Jesus. And all my friends say, amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.